Rules of Engagement, Part 9 of the RSVP series, written by 36 Save Files, read by Argentum Lupin. After the key thing, Reese ends up spending more and more time at Jack's place. Jack can't decide which he likes better. Being at Reese's apartment and making himself at home among the things Reese chooses to surround himself with, or seeing Reese doing the same at Jack's. Fortunately, Reese doesn't make him choose. Reese never makes him choose. In fact, the only complaint Jack has about the whole arrangement is that the apartment suddenly seems emptier when Reese isn't there, which is absurd. Jack scowls at the couch, whose only crime is to sit vacant. This is fine. This is fine. There's no reason at all he shouldn't enjoy stretching full length as he flips through the channels on the TV. It's just that he can't get comfortable. First, the cushions are too soft, then he shifts and they're too hard, and when he realizes he's trying to make room for another body that's not joining him tonight, he throws his hands up in disgust and stomps out of the room. There was nothing on anyway. Frankly, it's pissing Jack off a little, the way he suddenly can't sleep as well in his own bed unless Reese is there next to him. The way he picks up the heavy cream he knows Reese likes in his coffee at the store without even thinking about it. The way he wants Reese to be there, whether it's at big events like Angel's graduation or just to come baby him when Jack gets sick. He might have to do something about this. When he thinks about it, Jack isn't sure if he's more afraid that Reese will say no or that Reese will say yes. The no, well, that would be devastating. He can't lie to himself about that. Jack knows how lucky he is to have Reese. His breath catches sometimes to think that if it hadn't been for that ad, if it hadn't been for some stupid fucking joke, he might never have known what it was like to have Reese rolling his eyes at him while Jack complains about Reese's cooking skills, or to wake up to a pile of tousled brown waves that have somehow taken more of their fair share of the blankets. The yes, though. Look, it's a big commitment. Jack knows he's given it a shot once already, and look how that had turned out. This is different, though, if he's being honest with himself. Back then, there had been Angel to think about, and, well, Jack fucked up a lot of things those years. His marriage had only been one of them. After that, Jack had sworn never again. But God, he never thought he could feel this way again about someone who wasn't Angel. Like, Reese doesn't even need to ask, because Jack will say yes anyway, whatever it is. Jack props his head on his hand, watching Reese sleeping next to him. The sun is breaking through the window, and as it edges up over Reese's eyes, he frowns and blinks awake. He focuses on Jack blearily.
Were you watching me sleep? Like a creepy old man?
Good morning to you too, sunshine.
I knew it, creeper.
But Reese is smiling. Jack thinks about waking up to this every day, and in this moment, with the sunlight painting everything gold and Reese all soft and warm in his bed, Jack thinks he might be able to see his way to yes. Jack finds himself stopping and looking at the window display of the jeweler near Hyperion. He's not ring shopping. He's not even ring looking. He's just pausing on the sidewalk, that's all. And if it happens to be in front of a display of wedding bands, he might as well look at it. And if he happens to come to a stop one day when the display changes, if he detours inside to ask about one particular item, classic but with a modern twist, the sales associate assures him, very stylish, he's just doing research, okay? Just like it had been research when he had asked Vaughn, extremely casually, of course, and not at all in a weird, awkward exchange, if he knew how big Reese's fingers were. Vaughn had looked at him for a long moment, then said, "Look, good on you, man. I'll be first in line to congratulate you, but I have absolutely no idea. Also, terrible way to phrase that question." So that had been a bust. Except that it hadn't been, because Vaughn had texted him 2 days later.
"Size 9, you owe me for this."
It's platinum edged with rose gold, and it looks warm, like Reese. He stares at the thing for a long time, rolling it in his fingers, weighing it in his palm. Long enough that the associate tells him to let her know when he's ready to make a decision. When he signs on the line, it feels like a foregone conclusion. The thing is that once he has the ring, he still can't quite figure out how to do it. He can't just ask. There are rules to this kind of thing, a script, right? A romantic dinner, a stunning sunset overlooking the city. It has to be perfect, because Reese deserves perfect. But the perfect situation never quite seems to arrive. Dinner dates come and go, but the ambiance is never right. Or they go hiking and Reese walks into a patch of poison ivy because that's apparently something he does. Meanwhile, Jack remains hyper-aware of the ring, whether it's burning a hole in his pocket or sitting in the safe in his office, and every time he looks at Reese, he chokes on the words. This is the key situation all over again, Jack thinks angrily, but he still can't bring himself to do anything about it. Weeks go by, and Reese starts acting a little weird. Reese has his own brand of weird, sure, but this is different. Jack will turn and find Reese looking at him intently, but when Jack asks what the matter is, "Do I have something on my face? Is my hair more handsome than usual? Come on, pumpkin, give me something." Reese shifts his eyes and mutters that it's nothing. It's an obvious lie, and it makes Jack uneasy. Jack thinks about the ring box sitting in his safe and wonders if he's running out of time. Wonders if this is it, if it's the beginning of the end. It comes to a head one otherwise unremarkable evening when Reese is at Jack's place. Reese hasn't cooked. He's not allowed to anymore, except under Jack's supervision. But he has brought over a truly excellent tart from the bakery that Jack likes, the one near Reese's apartment. Jack has already wolfed down his half and is trying not to eye the half-eaten slice on Reese's plate too obviously when Reese laughs and pushes it over. "Don't hurt yourself," he says, a small smile on his lips, and Jack doesn't need any more encouragement than that.
"Aw, sweetheart, this is why I keep you around,"
he says indistinctly around a mouthful of buttery crust.
"Is it?"
Reese says. It sounds playful, but something in his tone makes Jack look up, and the half-smile on Reese's face has gone wistful. All of a sudden, Jack thinks that this might be a moment, might be the moment, with Reese's laughter still in the air and a smile on his face. But Jack's hands are full of fork, and the ring is in his safe, and he didn't think it would happen like this. Jack is about to tell Reese to stay right there, don't move, when Reese unfolds his arms and sets his palms on the table.
"Okay," he says.
"Okay." And the second one sounds like it's more to himself than to Jack.
"I didn't plan to do it like this, but I can't wait any longer. We need to talk."
We need to talk. Jack's stomach goes cold. He's heard that one before. And when he sees the almost defiant way Reese is looking at him, the last few weeks rearrange themselves in Jack's head. Reese's changed behavior, the way he's been staring at Jack like he's on the verge of saying something and then swallowing it at the last minute. Reese is breaking up with him. And God damn it! He was always afraid this day would come, but he's not ready for it. He's never been ready for it. Especially not now. Maybe it was a good thing he had never found a moment, Jack thinks numbly. At least then he'd spared Reese telling him no. Sure enough, Reese stands and moves over to where his jacket is lying on the breakfast bar, and he's saying something, but Jack can't hear it over the ringing in his ears. Jack almost stays where he is, but if this is it, if this is the end, then he wants to capture every last bit of it before Reese walks out of his life. Even if it feels like it's ripping him apart. When he turns, he sees Reese pulling a small black box out of the inside pocket of his coat. Reese's voice filters back in slowly. "Has been the best part of my life, really. And I know this is sudden. We haven't talked about it, but I just..." Reese swallows. "I want to know if you'll... if you want to..." "Oh, fuck it, here." Reese opens the box in his hands and thrusts it toward Jack. It's hard to look away from Reese's face, but when he tears his eyes away to look at what's in Reese's hands, he sees a ring, brushed gold, surrounded by platinum. It's simple, but stunning. It looks like a wedding band, but that doesn't make any sense. Nothing about this makes any sense to Jack at all.
"What?"
Jack's voice doesn't even sound like his own. "Jack," Reese says slowly and distinctly. His voice is steady, but his hands are shaking just a bit. "I am asking you to marry me." Jack stares at him as the world upends itself for the second time in as many minutes, something expansive and bright unfolding in his chest. It hurts to breathe. "Jack? Jack, say something!" Reese's voice cracks a little, and that jolts Jack into action. The ring! He scrambles out of his chair, toppling it in the process, and Reese has to step back as Jack practically sprints from the room. The only thought in his head that he has to get to that ring, to Reese's ring, as fast as he can. He tears down the hall and punches in the code to the safe, gets it wrong the first time because he's moving too fast. Too slow, hurry up! And when he grabs the box, it feels weighty for its small size, like it's the most important thing in the world. In this moment, it might very well be. When he comes back, Reese is standing in Jack's tiny kitchen, staring at the box in his hands with the worst look on his face. And only then does it occur to Jack what a monumentally shitty thing he has just done to Reese. He must have been so nervous, and Jack up and left him. But now is his chance to make up for it. Now, and possibly for the rest of his life. That thought doesn't scare him at all anymore, and that's how Jack knows he's making the right decision. Jack marches up to Reese, who actually flinches back from him, and Jack has handled this terribly. This is not at all how it was supposed to go. But there's no way out but forward. He snatches the box in Reese's hands out of unresisting fingers and shoves his own box into them. There, he says. His voice sounds like he's just run a marathon. That's my answer. Reese looks at him, and then looks down at the box in his hands. He opens it with fingers that Jack will tell him later were only shaking a little, and then he gasps, and his hand flies up to his mouth. He looks back at Jack, and there are actual tears in his eyes. Jack beams at him. This is more like it. Things got a little off script for a minute there, but Jack fixed it. Then Reese balls up the hand in front of his mouth and punches Jack hard, right in the shoulder where he knows it'll hurt. You asshole! And now Reese is laughing and crying at the same time, which is, well, it's not on script exactly, but it might be better, because now Reese is pulling him in for a kiss, and Jack has kissed Reese hundreds, thousands of times before, but this feels new. It feels like he's relearning the shape of Reese's mouth for the first time, and he's grinning into it even as his free hand settles on Reese's hip to pull him closer. Pretty soon, though, Jack starts to get impatient. Here, he says, in between pressing his lips to the corner of Reese's mouth. Here, let me... He pulls back and takes Reese's left hand in his own, and Reese sobers a bit as Jack slips his ring over Reese's knuckles and settles it on his finger. Reese spreads his fingers to inspect them, and he must like what he sees, because when he looks back at Jack, his smile is blinding. Okay, Reese says. My turn. Jack finds himself holding his breath and watching as Reese slides the ring down his finger, and he forcibly exhales when the ring comes to a stop at the base. He can feel it resting on his hand, but it doesn't feel nearly as heavy as he thought it might. Reese brushes his fingers over Jack's knuckles, grazing the ring as he does, and chuckles slightly. You have the largest fingers, you know that? There's only one thing he can say to that. I didn't hear you complaining when I had them up your... Oh my god, stop! But Reese is laughing. Jack flexes his fingers to feel the ring on his hand, and he is not really aware of it, just thinking out loud when he says, Christ, you nearly gave me a heart attack with that we need to talk line. Reese frowns. What did you think I meant? Crap. Nothing, it's not important. Jack goes to kiss him again, but Reese pulls back, still frowning. No, seriously, what did you... Jack can see the exact moment Reese gets it, because his eyes go wide and his mouth parts on a soft little... Oh. Then he grins sheepishly, fondly, and pulls Jack in with a hand on the back of Jack's neck. The metal is cool, but Jack's skin feels heated, and Reese's touch is a relief. I'm not going anywhere, Jack. Reese rests his forehead against Jack's, and with his free hand, he rubs his thumb over Jack's new ring. Not now, not later, not ever. And when he closes the distance between them, lips warm and firm and sure on Jack's, Jack finally, finally lets himself believe. To be continued.